96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
It's like a baby morning on July 10th, 1973. Bahamians everywhere were free. Free to shape their destiny in the land of the rolling sea. Man and woman, boy and girl, there is none rich like our soil. Independence morning is like a baby morning. Independence morning is like a baby morning. Let us always walk with God and heed the teachings of the
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 28th of July, 2022, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Good morning, good morning. It is a Thursday. That means it is a Culture Thursday. And I started the show with Independence Morning by Priscilla Rollins. It was my intent. I had intended to end Independence Month and the July Culture Thursday segments with an interview with Priscilla Rollins this morning. Sadly, we have to postpone the interview because she's very, very busy. Something popped up she had to do. So in her absence, I'd like to play some of her music today, songs that I found online, that is. And this whole Culture Thursday segment, whenever I'm playing music, the intent is to play music or to look for music online using the sources that the average person has available to them, right? Not going to sites where you have to pay to access the music. You know, I'm not going to sites where you need to be a member. You have to have a membership of some sort, or you need to be a part of an academy or an institution to get access to the music. I want to search for music the way the average person searches for music on the internet, so I could see what it is that other people are seeing when they're trying to explore our culture, when they're trying to figure out who we are. Who are these artists that these old heads keep talking about? Where are these songs that they keep telling us are the heartbeat of our country and of our experience and of our culture? You know, we say that we're serious about culture. We say that it is supposed to be the most important thing. We say that we can only give honor to the true, true cultural icons. But what? Where are they? How do we know who they are? How do we determine who they are? Who becomes a cultural icon in a space devoid of culture or devoid of a regard for culture? And so I'm going to play some of the Priscilla Rollins songs that I found online and how I found them. Because Priscilla, Miss Rollins has been in the news, in the media, you know, in the public eye recently. A wonderful interview with her by the Bahamian Heritage series, and you can find that online. That was a recent interview, a number of interviews with her, you know, out there. But this one took place leading into the 49th Independence Celebration. And I wanted to highlight Ms. Rawlins this year, but leading into the 50th, right? If you build it, they will come. If you give them a vision, they can build it, right? And so I'm doing my part, hopefully, to inspire, to spark those who are the cultural leaders, those who are responsible for not just our independence celebration, not just our 50th independence celebration, but how we document, how we highlight, how we determine what parts of the culture we're going to take with us into the future, what parts of the culture we're going to evolve with us as we evolve, and what parts of the culture we're going to leave behind, right? Some parts of the culture are for the time that they occurred in, and they're valid for that time, and there's nothing wrong with them. We just decide we're not going to take them into the future with us, like outdoor toilets. You know, it's a part of our culture. We understand it. That's the most important thing. A lot of people say, why do people stay with these outdoor toilets? They just want to live in filth. They don't want to evolve. They don't want to move into the future. But what you're seeing are people who are clinging to technology that they understand and that they can solve problems with themselves, right? They don't have to go call a plumber to be able to use the bathroom, to stop the water from flooding in the house and destroying all of their furniture. Sometimes we're dragging people into a future that they don't understand and we refuse to prepare them for. And so people tend to cling to the things that they do understand. That's another reason why these conversations about culture are so important. Because somebody needs to be able to say to the young people, like, look here, you see that thing over there? That's something that has evolved. Like, yeah, you holding it in your hand, young person, and you think it's brand new, and you think that you discovered it by yourself, your peers, something that you devised. But the historians and the cultural stakeholders are here not to lecture to you, but to show you that this thing that you think is new to you is something that has evolved and that past generations have allowed to evolve so that you can partake in it in your own way, in your own generation, the way that you and your peers do things. See, something could belong to us without us owning it, right? It could belong to us without us having absolute control over it. And that's how culture does and should operate. Got a text here that says, please play Funky Nassau. Okay, so Ms. Rawlins will not be joining me in studio today. Hopefully she can get a break and call in. That would be awesome. So we're going to talk about what's in the news today and a bit of some culture things. I like talking about culture. I don't like necessarily pitting generations against each other, but I love examining the tensions between generations, right? The tensions are the thin line that separates generations of Bahamians, because often that tension is the tension that is holding the entire country together. So there's a lot to talk about today in the news, in the newspaper. Gun violence is absolutely at the forefront. And I have some questions. And I think this is the most important question that we have to ask ourselves. We have to ask each other. right? It's two-part. You got to ask yourself, and then you got to look into the faces of your brothers and sisters, your neighbors. Your pastor say, turn to your neighbor in the church and ask them this question. What are you willing to do to end the violence? What are you willing to do to end the violence? And a lot of people say, but don't have the violence, don't have nothing to do with me. Why would you ask me that question? What am I willing to do to end the violence if the violence has nothing to do with me? Well, I'd say two things. We often say that, right? Like, this I didn't cause this. But we don't stop long enough. And certainly, the state actors and agencies that have an obligation to do it don't do it either. But I don't think we take the time to examine, you know, cause and correlation, to examine how our actions impact what's happening around us, affect what's happening around us, and even lead in to what's happening, contributes to what's happening around us. On the second end, what we've seen with the tragic killing of the 4-year-old Kenton Seymour is that you could be innocent, but that doesn't mean you're safe from the violence, right? You may not have caused it. You may not have nothing to do with it. You don't know these people. Kenton didn't know anybody. He knows his parents, his family, and his toys. And love in his heart. That's it. That's what he knew. But that didn't protect him from the violence. So saying that you don't commit crime and you don't engage in this type of criminal activity is not going to help you. Right? But also, you could be anywhere at any time and be the victim of a stray bullet. And so the question is, what are you willing to do to end the violence? What are you willing, and in the alternate, if you're not willing to do anything, what are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to give up to end the violence? I got a text here that says, I want Nassau ghetto area only to become oversaturated with police. All right, Texter, that's a bit unclear. So you're saying that the inner city areas should be saturated with police, and that's a part of a strategy to end the violence. But I tell you what, I never thought I would say this, but it appears as if we do not have enough police officers, given the policing model and strategies that the RBPF are employing. It appears as if we do not have enough police officers to deal with what's happening across the length and breadth of the country. Because I sit there every day, and my mantra is, take care of the pennies, and the dollars will take care of themselves, right? I don't mean get rid of the pennies like we did, but you take care of the pennies. It's an old British saying, take care of the pennies and the pounds will take care of themselves. And so I think that if we focus on behavior moderation and modification through greater traffic enforcement, for multiple reasons, I think this strategy will be an effective tool in the overall crime strategy, including gang violence. I think that causing people to moderate their behavior in this public sphere, where we all share the road, will teach Bahamians about spatial awareness, mindfulness, right? Critical thinking, and reasoning and negotiating skills. And these are all needed for conflict resolution. Right? Most of the issues, I'm coming to you right now, caller, the most of the issues we're dealing with, gang violence, interpersonal conflict resulting in violence, domestic violence, right? But if we look at how we interact with each other on the road, and then we have a good snapshot of how we interact with each other in other spaces, and if we can moderate behavior on the road, then we can moderate behavior in other spaces. Let's go to this caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron Glenn. How are you doing?
1 second. Good morning.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I got you. Good, good.
Hey, you know, once again, good morning to the public. We have given solution, you know. But the government sometimes, they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear their own so-called experts with only have pocket solution. The major solution in Providence and all the environment one national service.
Mm-hmm.
Two, local government. A national service would give the idle hands who aren't doing nothing a service into a military type of programming, the social service in it.
Mm-hmm.
To train them so they go back or be better society. You have the training of skills. If they have lack of skills, whatever they lack, they will it would play some sort of skills. So a national service program, so when the Red Cross needs someone to serve or a national disaster area, you have the young behemoth people.
Mm-hmm.
And the local government. But then again, you know, you always hear petty people come on the radio talking about shock this and shock that, but that don't reach the community. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Let's try to save the community before the community go into lockup.
Yeah.
That's how you could do that. Well, you know, but that's waste time. They despise the Linden's greatest treasure research, and that's its national service. You know, we pocket it down to whatever you want to pocket it down to. That's advertised on TV and make TV more boring. If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So let me ask you. National service, what ages?
Well, at the time of getting with the United Nations at the time, youth is from 15 to 35. You still youth from 15 to 35?
Right.
So youth from 15 to 35. Not only, also the set who went to university, they will come back. And if they skip it, they will have to come back under mandatory to serve for at least 3 or 4 years.
All right. I say we take a part of the Israeli model.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So from you hit puberty, mm-hmm. You begin the initial national service engagement, right? So you hit puberty, say we start at 11 or 12. You go into like they have the RBDF Rangers.
Yeah, I used to be with the issue.
Right? Service. And then when you hit 18, until you hit retirement age.
What that would be?
65.
Okay.
Or let's call it 60.
Yeah.
Right?
Let's call it 65.
From 18 to 65, you serve in national service.
Yeah. See,
it's not just putting the young people in a program, you know. It is also important to have a program where the older people and the younger people work together.
Engaging everybody.
Yeah.
Because along with that will be local government for New Providence.
Right, right. Yeah.
And these are simple solutions. But instead of doing simple solutions, we don't have a town meeting and say, look here, Bahamians, what do you want? We have a Zionist meeting and say, we want shock treatment.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have a town meeting and say, Bahamians, what do you want? We just have a shock treatment based on a good contract and tell us what we want.
Mm-hmm. And let me tell you what the issue that I have with shock treatment is, right? a part of the reason the children, the young people, minors get to the point where we feel that they need shock treatment, right, is because of a lack of access to psychological and emotional health services.
Yes, Baritan program. Dr. Burton Nottis, they despise, Tony Salinan on, they despise Dr. Burton Nottis on when he had a Baritan program. A lot of people there don't know how to be parents. They just open up their leg like children.
Yep. It's, and this is a big part of it. So you're putting these young people in this program that uses a very aggressive and hostile style of engagement.
Yeah, but he's trying not to.
Right. And does it take... Does it take into account that a part of the reason why the children are there is because of unhealthy and dangerous engagement like that in the...
No affection. No love.
All right.
If your mother disciplined you, but she's going to come back and say, Aaron, this is why I disciplined you.
Mm-hmm.
And I love you. I don't want you to go in that direction.
Right.
And when you go to the shock treatment, you don't get that. You get scared. Police shot know your hair. That's it. Boom. You can't take a hand of their children like that.
Hold on now.
Ask the person who coordinates shock treatment. Do you handle his children like that?
Right. Now, here's the thing. Let's stick a pin. I'm gonna give them a blight just for a second, right? And let's just say that, okay, we don't know what happens when the camera's off, right? There may be some tender moments that the production team decide not to share because of the overall strategy of the show, right?
Don't let us miss up, Frank.
You know what I'm saying? There could be some spaces.
Yeah, but we don't want to see that. We want to see spaces. We want to see a national plan with the Linden talk about. Not spaces. Come together with a town meeting and find out what the Bahamian really want. And a national service, and a community, and a local government service.
Mm-hmm. And understand why parents would be hesitant to put their children into programs that the parents may have been in similar programs and may have been abused or felt like they were abused psychologically, right?
It is psychological. Good parents don't know how to be parents. That's why the late Brennan Nott wanted a parenting program.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's a different one.
And I'm for adopting families. It's no longer effective to take children away from their parents or take them away from the familiar, you know, the family space.
And move them over to the past.
It's important. We're at the point where we need to adopt entire families.
Yeah, that's a community.
Yeah. And so when the Ministry of Housing is talking about housing programs, right? I'm like, and initiatives and selling homes, right, with mortgages attached. I wonder if they're thinking about the psychosocial and the psychological aspects involved in designing housing options for your nation, because the majority of people cannot afford a mortgage, and they do not need a standalone home. They need a community. We need community-designed housing.
Definitely need community design. I never believe in this concept. You pull the East, and you pull them to the West, and you leave the East at the slump.
Yeah.
And that makes sense to me. You pull from the East, carry them over to the West, to community housing, and at the same time, you got to develop the East.
Yeah. But listen, I got to go.
Well, for me, Andrew, that's like moving the garbage from your house to the parking house.
Yeah. So it'd be out of sight.
Yeah. Have a good day.
Listen, thank you very much. Thank you very much. That's the music. When we get back, we're going to listen to some more Priscilla Rollins music. Look here, I bet y'all haven't heard some of these songs by Priscilla Rollins. And then we're going to get back to the text, some more questions about shock treatment, about police engagement. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Thank you. used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Parents, it's that sweet time of year again.
The kids are going back to school.
So pick up your copy of the Nassau Guardian's Back to School Supplement, because
it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Put your students in the latest styles at the lowest prices. Summer break is almost over, and our Back to School Supplement is filled with brand name back to school supplies at discounted prices, store locations, hours, and contact details.
It's the happiest season.
Advertisers, call the Nassau Guardian today at 302-2300 or call your account executive to get in on the 2-for-1 insertion deal. If it's uniforms, shoes, books, backpacks, laptops, tablets, or whatever is on your back-to-school supply list, your ad should be in the Nassau Guardian's back-to-school supplement.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Good morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. You're on the clock with Erin Green. Now, listen, that intro, you heard that? That's Priscilla Rollins. Let me tell you where I found that. I found that song online as a part of, it's called Reggae Souls Medley Number 1 by DJ Hard Tyne, right? DJ Hard, T-H-Y-N-E. Now, first of all, I thought, when I looked at it, I thought it'd say hard time, right? Like T-H-Y-M-E, like the time you cook with, and that's dead excited. But this DJ is from Nicaragua. This guy is from Nicaragua. Now, when I first heard the song, I thought, is that really Priscilla Rollins? Did the DJ, like, get the wrong name, the wrong artist, you know, with the music? But there are two of these. There's Reggae Souls Medley Number 1 and Reggae Souls Medley Number 2 online by DJ Hard Tyne from Nicaragua. It's sometimes you at home in your own country slunk in on your own music and your musical icons, and people around the world are celebrating them in the most amazing. And Priscilla has a broad category of work, you know, from Independence Morning and Black of the Berry, Old Bear Woman, which seems to be like a companion to Old Bear Man, Every Breath You Take. She's got disco and funk. She's got reggae. She's got Rake and Scrape. Just a fantastic catalog of music. I see we got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, my mom.
Good morning. How you do?
It's always good to hear you, to see you back home, you know, at least amongst in the issues of the poor.
Yeah, man.
Especially housing, man, you know?
Yeah.
You know, these folks, they talk about housing mortgages, mm-hmm. you know, but when they talk about affordable housing mortgages, that's not housing for the poor.
Yeah. No, it's not.
And, you know, we need more people like you.
It's not. In fact, they couldn't make affordable housing for the poor through a standalone buy a house. So what they had to do was they had to provide an institute that would lower the criteria for qualification for a mortgage. So the house costs the same as a regular house, but right. You are now able to get a mortgage with lower qualifications.
And even then, the poor can't afford it.
Yeah.
You know, the middle class can afford it, but not the poor.
But I mean, the middle class can't afford it.
And they're struggling.
Because what we find constantly from middle class straight up to lower upper class is that people are investing money that should be diverted or directed to collective development strategies. They are spending that money on personal, individual, disposable experiences, right? And so, like, we don't understand even that conducting proper maintenance on my home is a contribution to the community and to the country at large, right? Ensuring that my property is properly maintained is a contribution to the national maintenance plan.
See, Ms. Block, we like to talk about how we invest in the system, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but yet we carry a constitution.
Yeah.
You know, and as well as we want to hang, the Westminster, they don't hang, you know, and we don't want to do the lotto that takes care of the sporting, our facilities and development. I know people don't like to hear this, but national insurance, that's for health care as well. But we don't want to, you know what I mean, according to the people who do the Westminster, do it.
Well,
in the UK.
Here's what it is. We're stuck. See, when I talked earlier about the outdoor toilet, right? And some people cling to it because it's technology that they understand. And they can master their world because they understand it. They don't have to rely on anybody for anything. Now, I'm not saying that we should remain, you know, stick with outdoor toilets. But what I am saying is that we pull people to the executive bathroom, right? Straight from the outdoor toilet to the executive bathroom without giving them the tools necessary. We don't teach them how to use the bathroom. We don't teach them how to clean the bathroom. We don't teach them how to maintain the bathroom, right? We don't teach them how the bathroom works, how to repair the bathroom. None of it. None of it. And then we get embarrassed.
I guess you need to reiterate, you know, I mean, that you, at every show, that you are a democratic socialist.
No, man, no, I don't like labels. Labels get you in problems. I don't like labels.
That gets you in a good problem. The problems that the poor people will support. Thank you, man.
Yeah, man, no, absolutely. Absolutely. But it's incumbent, we have to ensure that the poor people are taken care of, because at the end of the day, it's the poor working class people that are driving the country. And it would be a horrible day. It would be a horrible day that we have to acknowledge that we have working poor here, right? That we have people who are working and still live below the poverty line. Right? Imagine you making minimum wage or more, just above minimum wage, but you still only, at the end of the day, have $4 a day to eat on, because the rest of your resources are going to other things, right? In the same way, when we talk about housing, we have to deal with housing because, like, you know, we like to call Bahamas like a Sodom and Gomorrah because of homosexuality. But I want you all to consider this, right? I'm willing to say that we are a Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm willing to say that we are. But not because of that. It's because we could sit down and smile at people and invite them to our own country and tell them, I'm willing to pay a part of the cost for you to come and take advantage of the main industry. Like, I'm willing to subsidize your flight and your bed stay, right? I'm willing to do that so you could come and visit me and see my country. And at the same time, people are living in cars and living in the bush and living in abandoned vehicles, right? This is no bueno. It cannot work. Is if you tell me that that's why we are Sodom and Gomorrah, because we invite people to come stay, the most luxurious experiences people will have on the planet, come have them here, but you can't provide the basic services to your citizens. That's the real problem. I see we got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You still there? All right, sorry we lost you guys. Please call back, callers. Let me get to some texts. Got a text here that says, where's the data that shows that shock treatment has been effective? Otherwise, we're just using trauma to use against traumatized people, right? And that's the concern, that the very dynamic that you are using to, you know, to quote-unquote save these young people's lives is a dynamic that is divisive in their own lived experience and may be a part of the impetus that drove them there. See, we got the call back. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Producer, you took a course in Braille. Good morning. You there?
Hi. Yes. Good morning. Hey, good. Change line. That line there.
No problem.
Really crackly.
No problem.
Yes. Good morning to you, ma'am.
Good morning.
Enjoying your show as usual.
Thank you. Thank you.
On the other show earlier, it was asking about if you win this $1 billion lottery, what would you do with it?
Oh yeah, I am. But my pastor's listening, so I don't want him to hear this. Go on.
And he had us call in and say what we would have done with it.
Okay, right? Well, come on, shoot. Let me know.
I just mentioned that to bring it to your attention. However, the shock treatment program that they are doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of concerning to me because if we, you know, in some cases, you're not allowed to corporate punish your child anymore. You know, because all of these things. So why are they allowed to be so, I don't know, brutal and up in these kids' face? Isn't that making the kids more angry?
Well, so what I have learned is that they do an individual assessment on each child, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they do an individual assessment on each child. And so I think they have a good sense of who they think that extreme engagement mm-hmm. is going to be effective with, right? And they make an assessment of who that extreme engagement may be detrimental to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I agree with you. I am concerned about this style of engagement, right?
Uh-huh.
But I do think that they do make individual assessments of the young children, of the young people, because they're minors, their psychological state and their home life, right? The background that they come from. And they make a determination of whether that extreme engagement is going to be detrimental or beneficial to the individual.
So my thing is, if they do that,
yeah,
how is it then that they come up with such small or positive outcome,
well,
versus more, because if they're doing this background, they should have had a better turnover, not less.
Well, there's a lot of things at play, right? Here's mm-hmm. another thing that we don't think about. I'm telling you, we don't think about this at all. The impact of the lens itself on the young people in the program. And so I would ask a question, would this program be more effective if it wasn't being televised?
Probably, you know, because I don't think that they're getting to most of them like they should, because I see, like, with kids, I have a 12-year-old son, and
mm-hmm.
something happened to school the other day that he was involved in, and before we walked in the school gate, he stopped me. He said, "Now, Mommy, please don't embarrass me in front of the school, please."
Mm-hmm.
So when you televise these things that you're doing to these kids, you are embarrassing them.
Yeah.
Then they get back out there in the world. These other kids are teasing the devil out of them.
Yeah.
So it actually makes them worse. You catch more flies with sugar than you do with the other stuff.
Yep. If you have been watching these television shows like Bad Girls Club and Love and Hip Hop and this and that up and even the Real Housewives series, which are mature, older women, right?
Yeah.
You see, it's like the lens. Once there's a camera in the space, people's behavior changes dramatically or significantly, right? It's a shift, and it's this bravado And it's like, I cannot get punked.
But guess what? When you turn around and look at it, when the camera get them to the one-on-one,
mm-hmm.
what do you hear them say? She embarrassed me the way she carried on. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that. When you embarrassing these kids, then they go out in the streets and their friends, you make them cry and their friends see them crying. No, man, I think they would get a better result if they would be more, they don't have to be baby-like with them.
Right.
But they should be more respectful. You know, you want to be a man, this is how a man acts. Let me see you act like this. Come, mm-hmm. this is what I need you to do.
And
you understand me?
When you
see them the way you want the world to see them. But when you come up in their face and rough them up, because they don't do that to the prisoners, but they do it to these kids.
Mm-hmm.
You understand the difference? If you're not roughing up the prisoners this type of way, but you want to do this to the kids and feel like that's going to get a better result, no. No, 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 no. I feel like if they would be a bit more gentle, they don't have to televise it. If you don't want the world to see them being, you know, nice to the children. But, you know, talk to them, give them what you expect for them to give to the world. And at the end of the day, say, listen, this is how I want to see you act. This is how I want to see you carry on. Then I pass the streets, this is how I want to. You understand me?
Yeah.
Teach them something while you have them.
Yeah.
Don't brutalize them and embarrass them and then expect to see a good result. Because I'm usually a calm person, but if you embarrass me, you can meet all your tires flat in the morning.
You know, right? And that's something that's real. I'm as you were talking, I remember watching a small documentary and listening to an older man say, you know, what I needed then was love.
Yeah.
But he says, but I don't think I could have taken it. Like, I don't think if the person had brought me the love, I would have rejected it. I would have spat it out. But so, you know, so here's this older man acknowledging that when in that moment, what I needed was love, but also acknowledging that, but you couldn't give it to me. I wouldn't take it. Right?
But guess what? He needed it. So even though he would have rejected it, you would have started that clock ticking in his head had you given that little bit of love.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he wouldn't have gone as far before he changed. He would have gone a little further, but then that love that you gave and show him would have stopped him on his path and make him say, hold on.
Now, you know what?
I know what love was. Let me see if I can get some more of that.
Yeah, I gotta go. But just as you said that, there was a series in Britain where they followed a group of young people. It's like a time capsule television documentary. In 7-year periods, they revisit them every 7 years. 7 years old, 14 years old, 21 and up. And maybe that's what we need to do. We need to find the funding to expand. If we're going to insist on doing the program, right, then we have to expand it and follow the lives of the young men and women who have been in the program. And not just to document it, but to support them as well, right? To offer support where needed or where possible and to document it for the purpose of enhancing the program and for the purpose of the people in the program, you know? So their lives and the transformations can be documented. Because not every transformation looks the same, you know? And here we are saying that this don't work, but we don't know the extent to which there's been a change in the hearts and minds of the young people that have gone through those programs either. Because he could still be a bad man and make sure Grammy them okay, you know? He could still be a bad man and make sure all the women and the vulnerable people in the community are taken care of. And so we have to give people that grace.
Yep.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you so much. Let's get to the text line. I got a text here that says, Aaron, I went to NCA in the early 80s. All the senior boys took a tour of the maximum security prison, and we spoke to some of the inmates that helped me not wanting to go back there. That was the light shock treatment. Ah, there we go. That's an effective program. And maybe that's what we need to do. And maybe we need to start now we're out of the 80s. Maybe we need to start before you get to senior high school. Another text. Also, somebody asked if we could play Daddy White's song, No Slapping Up. No, no slapping up today, man. We can't do that. Another two interesting texts here. I got one text that says, Ms. Green, people in Nassau are allergic to law and order. People don't want rules. Everyone want to do their own thing. That's why foreigners love Nassau. Everything buck up goes. I thought you was going to say something else. Texter. Right. And so I thought these two texts were juxtaposed, but they actually are sort of the same. Ms. Green, I'm afraid for our police. I will continue praying for their safety on the job. These killers are not concerned about death. Yeah. We pray for the police. We pray for everybody. We pray for everybody. We pray for the police. We pray for the people who have been charged with ensuring the safety of the residents and citizens of this country. We have to pray for them. We pray for everybody that leave their house today, that they get back safely. I got another text say, I don't know who said, don't beat children, but I do. Not abuse, but I just cut hip and it works. Man, text, I almost want to ask you, if you could text quickly, what offenses, right? What offenses cause you to get a cut hip in your household? And I hope it's your household. I hope you ain't beating other people's children. Please don't. I see we got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Morning, Ms. Green.
Hey, morning, Sparky. How you do?
Hi, right here. You know, Ms. Green, I remember growing up, we used to be scared of police. We used to be scared of going to jail. Don't even want to go up Fox Hill. Scared of going to the courts.
Mm-hmm.
We used to be afraid. But this country has not grown one inch. At least this island has not grown one inch. The only thing this island has done is increase in population from illegals, unwanted visitors, unwanted weapons, ammunition in our country. And it's gotten to the point where people like myself sometimes afraid to go out in the day, much less go out in the night, say you want to take your family to a movie or to a restaurant, to sit down with dinner just to get away from the home and dining room table, to sit out and be served and look over the water at the yachts and stuff in the harbor. Because some young man walking in there looking for maybe the waiter or the yard man or the security guard who might be out getting a job with an ankle bracelet on, come looking for him. And he spot him, and then he opened up range for the AK-47.
Sparky, hold on, Sparky.
Shoot at random.
Sparky, hold on. We got to stop. Hold on, this is a dire picture you painting. No. We got to reimagine the Bahamas, Sparky. We got to reimagine the Bahamas. Oh, no, sir, we can't be living like that. No. But thank you, but I feel you, Sparky. I feel you. That's how a lot of people feel. I going to tell you, you talk about going out for drinks and dinner. I agree with you because I have to rob somebody twice to be able to afford drinks and dinner in New Providence. It's just like a whole bunch of robbing going on. But yeah, there was a time when people were afraid of the police, afraid of getting locked up. Afraid going to jail, and people not afraid anymore, as evidenced by the Public Disclosure Committee. You know, sometimes it's top down and not bottom up. Sometimes, only sometimes. Got some text here that says, Ms. Green, we don't have enough police. Ms. Green, NASA is only 21/7, and the government can't police a Pebble Island. And if you delete the gated communities, Nassau is less than 21/7, and they can't police that. We ain't serious. Well, look here. This is a whole series of discussions that I would love to have. First of all, it's very difficult to police people who don't want to be policed. It's very difficult to cause people to govern people who don't govern themselves. It's extremely difficult. And without the right strategies and resources, it's near impossible. But I see we got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
This Doc in Oyster, along with you, pretty eyes, Aaron Grant.
Good morning, Bremen. How you doing?
I'm holding, thank God. You need justice, law, and order in this country.
Yes, sir.
Let me show you something.
Mm-hmm.
People always talked about the illegals in the country, right? But basically what they speak of is the, who they speak of is the Haitians and sometimes the Jamaicans, right?
Right.
The thing is, all of those people, just about all of those people that's in authority,
mm-hmm.
they have the Filipinos working in their house and their yard and stuff like that. And what they're saying is the reason why they don't hire Bahamians because Bahamians are steal.
And
the thing is, they're contributing to the problem also.
And the Bahamians is talky business, but now that the punch is no longer in business, right? That shouldn't be a problem, right? It shouldn't be a problem. Look here, thank you, Bremen. Thank you very much. That's an important point you make there. We are not, listen to me, we are not focusing on migrant communities here. We're not being divisive. We're not shifting focus from one community to the other. But that's a very interesting point that you made there, Bremen. As we close out the show, good morning. I told you guys many years ago that the Privy Council knew what they were doing when they stopped capital punishment. If the murderer doesn't care who they killed, should not care. We shouldn't care how they feel. Okay, no. Listen, a part of the reason why there's been a pause in capital punishment is because we do not have a functional judiciary. It's simple. Your judiciary needs to be functional. That's it. And I mean that tight, functional, trustworthy. And I'm not saying it's not trustworthy, but I'm saying there are standards that we are yet to hit, that we have to hit. You can't be executing innocent men and then resurrecting them when you go back through the files and realize you made a mistake. You just can't do it. So we take time with that one, but I appreciate the pressure. But that only works if you think that people are afraid of death. And in a Christian nation, who is afraid of death if you know that you are going to glory? Right? We got to rethink these strategies. Anyway, thank you, producer, playing that music. Priscilla, we love you. I missed you this morning. I hope I can get you on soon. You got to go through this massive catalog of music that you have, man, so the nation will know who you are and why we celebrate you. Anyway, we're coming to the close of July, Independence Month in the Bahamas, and I hope you enjoyed the lineup of shows and the guests and the music that I brought to you. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you listened to it, and I hope you share it with your friends and your family. It's our culture. It's depending on us to keep it alive. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM is up next with Cecil Newry. Have a great day, Bahamas.
Next day I called Mama and asked her advice. She said, look here, child, I ain't gonna tell you price. If you're strong like tractor and tall as a tree.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.